Is that two things I think we left out. In the end, I was trying to explain that Koyne Maseyev, it's a very good topic. Koyne Maseyev Beis Agrono could be a din in the, you know, in the competition and who gets and the Shevet HaKohuna, could that kind of halacha. Obviously, that would have certain ramifications. It could be a din in Nesina, and, you know, Nesina Shulhana, like Dos Rid says, which is definitely something to connect with. Also with the Rambam Shita by Kedushin, but he's obviously expanding it in a different way. That's an interesting phenomenon. But if it is a din in the Sina, it's also possible, I think, as I said, to take the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos and Makoros, who inserts already the issue of Lamashchol Gedula, you know, Kibdeyalakim, etc. But definitely in Pirush Mishnayos, it's focused on the Nesina part of it. It's the person who has to give, you know, who has to make sure that that's the way it's done. And if the Rambam were writing, you know, when he writes in Nukos Trumos, according to the way that he's expressing it in Pirush Mishnayos, in my opinion, he would have flipped the emphasis. In other words, when he says Nukos Trumos, which is that, you know, it's Ikar Din on the Kohanim, but also, you know, Lo Yaniach Yisrael, you know, whatever, which I don't think is a Messiah issue at all. I think whenever the Rambam does that, it shows that it's a special din in the nature of this particular halakha, like being a junior partner in this consequence. It's not a more general Iser Klali of Lifnei Iver or Misayeya. Rambam does this in a bunch of places, where he, you know, sometimes emphasizes you know, a secondary level. I think that's what the case is. But what I'm saying is that in the spirit of Pirush Mishnayos, I think it would have been written in the opposite way, and I think he just changed his mind on that point. It would have been Ikar Din in the Nosein and in the Nesina, and then there would have been, and of course, you know, and that's, again, it starts with the Tipul, and anybody who's going to make it easier for the Nosein, right, to do it in a Derech, you know, which is not that way, is a junior partner in that. That's kind of how he says it in Pirush Mishnayos. But it's a, in Yad HaChazaka, I think he flips it, and for the reasons that we discussed. Then it could be that it's just a din in Chefza of Truma and Meiser and whatever, meaning it's a din in that, turning that into a commercial commodity, you know, either Schar or something like that. And then what I was really trying to explain, particularly for the Rambam Yad HaChazaka, is that he, like Pirush Mishnayos, he thinks that this is an expansion of the Mashal Gedula. In the case of Yad HaChazaka, again, he mentions this a few times. Again, in Hilchos Bechoros, Ein Nosnis HaBechor LeKohen LeKishivaleid, She'ein Zegedula LeKohen. Again, this is Lashitaso, about the Reisha part, the Tipul. Ela Yitapil Ba'alavad Sheyagdil Ma'at Bidnera LeKohen. Ad Kam Yisrael Chayav Yitapil BeBechor. And then he has Be'im Adaka, Be'im and so on. And then he says, "V'imamar lo akoyin tenayuli betoks manzev ani atapela atzmi ina rashay litul shazembi zekamo rather misayeya al matnosa v'kvar biyana b'kos truma shakoni misayim v'beis agronos v'beis amit b'chayim v'betoch haroim v'inos lematnoseim b'schor." So again, he starts here with this din of gedula, and in Hilchos Trumos, I said it's even much more explicit. But he also refers to this din of gedula, of legedula, also in Hilchos Bikurim, even when there's no din of tipul and there's no specific mention of misayeya, because he thinks that it is a broader halakha. He thinks it's a broader din in, I'm just trying to find the exact reference. He thinks it's a broader din in many types of, or in most cases, of matnas kuhunos. So that the Rambam in tests. Chaf Beis, Hilchos Bikurim, also has this expansion. Just one second. Tes Chaf Beis, yeah. Lo yachto fakoin amatonos v'lo yishal bepiv elim kenosim lo bekavod notel ubizman shehim rabim bebeis mitbachayim hatsnuim boshkim yadeim v'har the Hagargan Garim Notlim, the Maya Koin Sanua, the Makirno Soshu Koin, Harizanoto Kadeshi Ivada, Lakol shehu kohen. Ben akonim ochim matanos alatzli b'chardal shenamar lemashcha kederach shochlim hamalachim. So again, here again, the Rambam is expanding this idea of lemashcha legdula. He's applying it more broadly. And then when you look back into Chos Trumos, I think you can really appreciate that that's what he did in Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Yud Ches and Yud Tes, also Lekohanim Levim, L'sayeh Bebeis HaGronos, Zukolam Nesei Achilu Kodesh Hashem, V'aleim Nemar Shichasem Bris HaLevi. And again, as we pointed out, right, that the Rambam flips the order, and the Ikar Din is in the Chilul Kodesh Hashem, but it's not the Kedusha of Chefza, as I say, it's this idea, this broader idea. But also the Yisrael Anicho Sheyisayu, as we talked about a second ago, El Nosan Lahem Chelkon B'Chavod. Then in Halacha Yates, Nosan Truma L'Koin Amanas L'Abzira Yotze Yidei Nesina, but also L'Asas Kem B'Bnei Shanim Sayyid Beis HaGranos, that's a Har Gemara. And then, V'chein Osir Sheyat Yachtifu Truma U'Maisros Afilu Lishol Chelkon B'Piem, right, Asur Elanotlin Bekavot. So again, this could have been in a totally different halacha, but this is the Rambam Lishitaso. But then comes the key phrase: Shal Shulchan Hamakom Him Ochlin, Val Shulchano Him Shosim, Umatanos Elu Lashem Him, Behu Zika Lahen, Shenemar Vanina Satilacha Es Mishmeres Trumosai. So this is where the Rambam, I think, changes a little bit. Or it's not a din in the Cheftza, it's not a din in Kedusha per se, it's a din in this like constant recognition, this cognizance, you know, that you have this as Shluchei Hashem, and that it isn't, you know, Mishulchan Gavah Kazachu in the Kachim sense, but it's more the idea that Huzika Lahen, Huzika Lahen, and Al Shulchano Him Shosim, which requires a certain, you know, posture, basically, of kavod and so on. So, for him, lemashcho legdula, the chardal, all those kind of things, the low, you know, you shouldn't grab, you shouldn't eat it, and all of that is part of the same story as Yisrael being metapel, in the case of Bechor, and kohanim nesayim beis hagronos, in this case. So because of that, just to get back to the two exceptions, that's what we were talking about in the end yesterday. Number one, why doesn't he mention the exception of Trumas Chutz La'aretz? So again, he does have in Chalas Chutz La'aretz, but why doesn't he mention it in Hilchos Trumas? Why only in Hilchos Chala? That's the Mishul HaMelech's question. Or the Kesel Mishul's question is, why does he omit it? Mishul HaMelech points out that he has it in the form of Chalas Chutz La'aretz. So here, just a quick theory. Number one is that the context in Hilchos Trumos doesn't really allow for that so much. Amasha Enkein of Bikurim, where he's talking about Chalos Chutz La'aretz in a broader way. And when he talks about Chalos Chutz La'aretz in Perikei of Hilchos Bikurim, what he mentions, what he emphasizes, is the fact that Chalos Chutz La'aretz isn't Chala Midrabanan. Right, it's really again in chayav bechalam in atorah leberes Yisrael bavad, and so on, and then peres chutzlar shenak nichosil aretz Yisrael chayav bechalam, but then he has the mafishim bechutzlar midivrei so from kedeshalot tishtak haktoras chalam Yisrael, and then he has you know the chilukim in which he makes it perfectly clear that chalas chutzlar is basically a chovas hagavra, but it really has no. It has no kedusha, and it's in that context, in Perikei Halacha Yud Beis, that he mentions that again Hanida Ukiyotu b'Marechas Afreshes Chalas Kutzar She'inu Muzeres Al Magaa El Alachilasa V'Moshe Koin Katan, and here's where he mentions that Afilu Misarba, all the dinim of Cheftza that have to do with Chala don't apply to Chalas Kutzaretz. And that's where he also mentions the Ein ba mishum koin amesayeh b'matnosav shehu atzer. V'matzolechol tchila b'akach yafrish achala b'chutzar tzivim mutar she'eni kara elam b'divreya. You can even, there's no din of tevel d'rabanan, It's just a chovas hagabra, a chovas hafrasha, shlo tishtakach toras chala. Now, it's unlike many durabanans, this durabanan is not a din that midrabanan came daraisa. There's a status of chefza shel chala. All the dinim of chefza shel chala pretty much are taken away from chalas chutz laretz. So, just to add a little bit, so why didn't the Rambam also mention that the Gemara mentions it by Trumas Chutzlaretz? Why does Rambam mention more by Chalas Chutzlaretz? So here, I'm just speculating. It could be that, you know, this is pushing it too far. But maybe the Rambam felt that there wasn't even a need to speak about Trumas Chutzlaretz, because in the relationship between Chalas Chutzlaretz and Trumas Chutzlaretz, there's a better chance for Chalas Chutzlaretz, you know, being it could go either way, depending on what you really hope. But there might be a better chance of Chalas Chutzlaretz being something midrabanan that approximates the daraisa than in the case of Trumas Chutzlaretz. Either it's going to be that way or the opposite, but it's very possible that they're not the same. And the reason for that is because the category of Eretz Yisrael is different when it comes to Truma as opposed to Chala. Even though both Chala and Truma are considered to be Truma, Chala, Truma, Bikurim all have a status of, you know, Truma with regard to certain things. But there are some subtle differences between Chala and Truma, and of course Bikurim. I'll leave Bikurim out for the moment. The fact is that the Yesod of Truma is of course Kedushas Haaretz itself, and that's why it's at the, you know, stage of Tvua and Havas Shlish. There's a din of Tevel, which you have to be Matir, which is a result of it having or being vested with Kedushas Haaretz, whereas Chala, right, which is only attains its status as an Isa, so it's already, you know, separated from the connection to the karka just physically. And even the indications, including in the Rambam, is that, you know, there might be a special Xeris HaKasuv that says that Chala is limited, you know, to Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Truma, which is just part of the Hagdara of what Truma is. It's Tvuas Haaretz. But here we're not talking about Isas Haaretz. I mean, it already was Tvuas Haaretz. It's at a later stage. It's more in the Maisa of Hafrashas Chala or Isa or Lisha, you know, that you generate this Chiyuv. So it's a Chovas Hagabra, you know, to be Mafrish. It's not so much that the nature of the Chefta is one which requires a Hafkas Tevel and a Hafrasha. This could affect, again, and it's not for now because it's a very extensive topic and an interesting one, I think. This could affect the whole. There is Tevel and Chala, and there's Tevel and Truma. And there is Hafrasha and Nesina in Chala and in Truma. There's a lot of overlap. But what I'm trying to suggest is that it could be that the relationships are just different. And I think this is particularly true for the Rambam. That, you know, in Truma, it's not the Chiyuv, Hafrasha, Nesina that generates the Tevel. The Tevel, you know, exists in its own right and needs to be matired, and that, you know, is part of what defines the Nesina and the Hafrasha. And in Chala, it's exactly the opposite. There's a Chi of Hafrasha, there's a Chi of Nesina, and that's why it is Tevel. And therefore, when it comes to the Chutzlar, it's part of it. In Eretz Yisrael, it's part of the Hagdara. In Chala, you might need a special Gzeres HaKasuv. That's what the Rambam seems to be quoting. Chalas Chutzlaretz, maybe, isn't the full Chala, but maybe there's even a view that it's, you know, that it's Doraisa has some status, or it's a stronger Durabanan than Trumas Chutzlaretz. Tosin Kiddushin in those sugyas has a whole discussion about that, and there's indications in the Makoros of the Rambam, in his Tshuvas, and again the way that he treats it in Hilchos Bikurim and so on, that the Rambam may, you know, a little bit, you know, be taking that position as well. So maybe the point is that when it comes to Trumas Chutzlaretz, maybe that's something that just Legamri, you know, doesn't have that kind of status, and you know, therefore it doesn't even come up, not even an issue. Chalas chutz la'aretz would be more of a reason to think that it has some semblance of chala, and therefore we need to be mamai. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe trumas chutz la'aretz midarbanan l'tisan aratzas hasmuchos is like an extension of Eretz Yisrael, but you wouldn't say that about other chutz la'aretz. So I'm just trying to show that for reasons to have their own life, chalas chutz la'aretz and trumas chutz la'aretz may be different, and that may be the reason that the Rambam, even though the Gemara speaks about this about trumas chutz la'aretz, that the Rambam felt it was important to write it about chalas chutz la'aretz, even though probably he doesn't deny that hu adin, or maybe even kol shekein, trumas chutz la'aretz. The other thing we wanted to explain was pidyon haben and the possibility that where it should be mechalek, we should be cholek neged the balei tosis. So Kesef Mishnah thought it was a Gemara that says that pidyon haben has the din of koinam sayeya. And again, if koinam sayeya is just about shevet kahuna and rights and so on and so forth, then, you know, makes a lot of sense. And if it's not about like exploiting, you know, trying to, you know, capitalize on some, or take Yavachi of a Torah anyway, so, you know, might as well double dip, or whatever it is, you know, and get, you know, use it for schar, or get something else out of it as well. If it's those kind of halachos, then hu adin, certainly pidyon haben. But if it has to do with chefta shel kedusha, or according to the Rambam, it has to do with lemashka, legedula, and so forth, then it's very possible that, again, shiny pidyon haben, where we don't find that there's, you know, a din of ligadula, you know, for the kohen. And again, there's, you know, no reason that you can't have a matana amanas lahatsi. And I think that, number one, that's true, and it's also very logical, but again, it's tricky. We have to really analyze this, try to do it another time. I think there's a lot to say about this. To what extent is pidyon haben, right, as opposed to, you know, pidyon bechor, where there is kedusha and it's a korban and so on, and other, is it a typical matnos kahuna, or does it really have a special status? And I think this is a complicated question that I don't want to get into now, but I think it's related to this question. Number one thing to look at, and I'm happy to do this at another point, the parshios and Torah shebichsav. Is it together? When is it together? When is it not? How the Rambam formulates it, also an issue. But there are certain characteristics of pidyon haben. Again, the money has no kedusha, clearly. There's no mashkal, there's no gedula, which for the Rambam is the ikar. Even the idea that, oh, this is, you know, al shulchan amakom, or beglal shulchan amakom zachisa, is more questionable when it comes to pidyon haben. Because pidyon haben has a motif of being the, you know, the tachlif for exchanging the bechor for the kohanim, right? And even that's why the original, you know, where you had bechor kohanim, you didn't even need to make the switch. The my bois tvei of the gaonim that we speak about really reflects that sensibility. We noted in the beginning of the Matan Menas Lahatzir sugya, right, I was saying that Truma is different because the Nesina Kol Dehu, it has to do maybe with the Hafrasha being Ikar and the Nesina being an extension of it. Right, and then Itamar mentioned the Sefer Makne, right, who said, no, maybe in the case of Truma there's no quid pro quo as opposed to pidyon haben. So I mentioned then, that's what he says?
Yeah.
So that's a very interesting formulation. I mentioned then that that's, you know, interesting in light of the nusach that we all use of the Gaonim by Bois Tvei, which the Trumas HaDeshen and the others all point out, is not really accurate, because it's not like, you know, you really have a choice. And it's not like the Kohen gets to keep your son, or Shevet Kahuna gets to raise your son, you know, if you refuse to do a pidyon haben, although you're supposed to do a pidyon haben. On the other hand, I mentioned that the Sfarno, in a bunch of places, really takes seriously the idea that the pidyon haben is a pidyon, it's a matir, and that, you know, young bechor, you know, shouldn't be involved in avodas chulin until he has his pigeon event. It's kind of a bit of a me'ila kind of a din, which is very fascinating, like an echo of the Maibai's tzvei. So this Sefer HaMakno sees it as some sort of a quid pro quo. It's quite interesting. What I was trying to add to it was that the Maibai's tzvei, to me, at minimum, echoes this exchange. And this exchange is a continued motif or dimension, you know, of pigeon event. We acknowledge, you know, that there was like an added advantage for every family having their own kohen, you know, and that was one kind of what I call specialization. And then, you know, for reasons of the Egel or other reasons, depending how, you know, how b'dievet or l'chatchila it really was, how much part of the original plan it was, or that's just the timing of the switchover. So then it was seen better, just like, you know, Melechus Kohen and Megoy Kadosh, that Klal Yisrael should be specialized in the world. So too, there's specialization in kingship, there's specialization in kahuna, right? The halachas are very specialized, you know, even though 90% is overlapping and common, and kahuna and leviah and all these things, and malchus belong to Klal Yisrael too, but the implementation is done on the basis of specialization. But when you say Maibai's tvei, you're kind of, you know, registering or acknowledging the original and also this tachlif idea. So this tachlif idea is probably more of a factor, you know, in pigeon abed. It doesn't really apply in the same way in other matnos kahuna. Other matnos kahuna are a recognition that the kohanim and or the levim, talking about Maaser Rishon, are, you know, chel Hashem. Let's say, to use the language of the Rambam at the end of Hilchos, Shemitah v'Yovel. And that therefore, you know, they have certain, they lost certain economic opportunities. There's you know, significance to providing them certain matanos from Klal Yisrael, and that they themselves should have the sense of being more reliant on the Rabbeinu Shalom and eating the Shulchano, trying to bring the things together. But Pidgin Aben, as a matnas kahuna, maybe doesn't have that in the same degree. There's more of an issue of actually the tachlif, you know, of these particular, it's related to, you know, particular Bechor, who would have been a Kohen. And that's, I think, the Maibai's tvei. Maybe that's the idea behind the Sefer HaMakna too. That sense of quid pro quo. Maybe not, you know, literally in the literal Gaonic sense. I don't think the Gaonim didn't mean it literally either. But it's this idea. But once it is this idea, that's not so much, you know, what the Rambam's describing as Shulchan Gavoa and so on. It's more, you know, it's a very different expression. The fact that there are, you know, five slaim with pigeon aben, when most matnos kahuna are either, you know, up to you, or have a minimum, or have a percentage, and pigeon aben is a fixed sum, I think is part of the story. The fact that it's such a mamon laden kind of a chiyuv. Right, this is a big issue in Pidgin Aben. Everybody's troubled always by the fact that, you know, we say Motzei Mechaver Alav Araya. Like, when you say Motzei Mechaver Alav Araya, you're going to, you know, really be potur. What happened to Sveika Daraisa, you know, Lechomra, the Kiyuv, to do the mitzvah. Now, part of this spills over into Kor Beheba too. Just that, not so much of it. Part of it does, though, because it also has an aspect of that. But, I think the fact that it's such a dine mominis, I mean, the answer, of course, as formulated by Rishonim already, is that, you know, the isers is contingent upon the momon here, right? So, you know, just like people ask the question about, you know, why isn't every safek gazela, you know, a safek, you know, iser? Why do we say motzei mechaver alav araya? Or do we say it? It's a similar idea here. That motzei mechaver, that pigeon aben is a very is formulated as a chiyuv mamon, and the fact that again it has a davar katzuv, you know, price, I think is part of it. Indeed, when we talked about the status of IOUs way back when we did daf hey, right? So we talked about, you know, Rashi and the Rajba, and we're trying to explain why, according to Rashi, you know, an IOU, Shtar Adme, would not work for a pidgin abet, right? So I mentioned that some of the Achronim say that because the five sloyim of pidgin aben are not captured by saying I owe you five sloyim, right? Because an IOU for five sloyim is not worth five sloyim. So some Achronim go further with this and say, but in Achanami, if it was 7 or 9 or 10 or whatever the market was to bring it up to five, that would be fine. But I don't think that that's such a davar pashut either, even if that's the pshat. And the reason I think that that is so is because maybe there's a din of davar katsuv dafka in pidgin aben. Again, we have to qualify that by the sugya davches, which we also already learned, which is that l'didi shavali works in pidgin aben. But remember that the l'didi shavali, as the Rishonim all know, is not a vitur. It doesn't mean that you get away with less than five sloyim. It's a more personal hagdara, a personal definition of five sloyim, l'didi shavali. And that's why the Rishonim point out that you can't just say it. You certainly can't say, I'll be satisfied with three. That for sure doesn't work. And you can't just, you know, maybe you can't even just say, well, you know what, this three is worth five to me. Maybe it really, you know, has to be that way, and maybe it even has to be objectively discernible that it's not. Oh, because you have all the other pieces, and this is the one that's missing. Or this is a nostalgic sudar, you know, you used to go to sleep with it, you know, or reminds you of the one you used to go to sleep with at night. You know, those, you know, bumpers from way back or whatever they were. So, whatever it is, the more you need to objectify l'didi shavali, the more it's not an indication that there's less katsuv, put it that way. But maybe if I say, you know, the seven are worth five, but, you know, that changes on the marketplace every day. Maybe that's an inherently a davar sheino katsuv more so. And maybe that doesn't work for pidgin aben, even if that is the, you know, the reasoning. So the point I'm trying to make is that there are a lot of indications that pidgin aben is just a little bit of a different, as much as it overlaps in some respects, I mean, Ram deals with it in Hos Bikurim, there are overlaps. It is a kind of, has, you know, some features of Matnos Kahuna, for sure. But, you know, the very nature of it, again, the fact that, you know, a Ben Cohen and a Ben Levi and, you know, even a grandchild, you know, these dinim, indicate that it's not your typical Matnos Kahuna. Therefore, maybe that was further reason why the Rambam did not think, unlike the Bali Tosis, not like the Kesa Mishnah, that Pidgin Aben was going to be subject to the din of Kohen HaMisayeya of the Beis HaGrons. Okay, there's much more to say, especially about each of these topics, but that's really what we wanted to say about it. Okay, so just one last point. I think I mentioned the Ksam Sofer, but I brought it in. The Ksam Sofer and the Darim Pei Amud Aleph, which I came to through the Frankel Rambam, he makes a note of it in the back there, does make the Ha'ara that the Rambam dropped Matan Saniyim. We talked about the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos. He discusses the problem of the Rambam Chasishos. The Rambam says that Yisrael Shekidesh Isha Demaiser Ani. So we talk in the sugyas about, we talked, right, Yonatan, about being Mekadesh Betrumos and Shvius, right, the sugyas in the second parak of Kiddushin. We talked about in terms of the role of Hana in those cases. But when you're Mekadesh Betruma, or you're Mekadesh, you know, B'maiser Rishon, or Mekadesh B'maiser Ani, who are you giving it to? Right? Is she somebody who is, you know, subject to that? Is she an Aniya or not? Or is that a problem or not? Is she somebody who can eat Truma or not? So if Kohen HaMaseya B'Beis HaGranos, right, is an active problem, right, just like, you know, giving it B'Schar should be a problem, but giving it for Kiddushin should be a problem as well. So that's why you may have to conclude that it's always about, as the Gemara implies, the Tovas Hana, right? So you're giving it dafka to a non, you know, Kohen, or a non aniyah, if indeed the din of koinam say beis agronos applies. But the Rambam does seem to say that in Perikei Halachei of Chosishus that Yisrael Shekinish Yishu b'maiser ani mekudeshes, and it sounds like even though she's an aniyah, so the Chassam Sofer was bothered that how could this be? So he explains that this is ach ikar akusha mi mekadish betrumas u'maisras to like the member shekidish kohenes betruma ulevia b'maiser dezeh aser mishum she. Mishum shichatem bris halevi kimavur bebechoros hamnam b'shas shelafanenu right hasam garcin and gamkein ania b'maiser ani kimavur bepirsh rashi sham aval Rambam near the logaris lay in Yad Chazaka because he does have Levi and he has Yisrael as we know but he doesn't have ani shelapasakhein lo beperik alifukas my matnas aniim velo beperik vav b'chein mashem b'kosh shichasem Bris Halevi, right? And the Krod de Loichalalu, the Maisei Ashasas, and Loshayach Zeb and Matnus Aniyim. Shein Baniyim, Mishum Chilu, Kedushasam, Ushchisasa, Brisam, Vim Kein Al Karch, Lomairi, Masnisin, Bekohanim, right? Ki Im Bemekadish Israelis, Petruma, Shein Lo, Bogam Kein Al Tovas Ana. But when it comes to An Maisar Ani, that would be an important Nafkim. So he thinks that the Rambam is Lashitaso in this regard. Again, Pirish Mishayas, might or might not be different depending on the vav of the girsa when he quotes the when he puts it into the Tosafta when it's not really in the Tosafta. But the point is again that Maiser Ani, of course, doesn't have any chepsa shel kedusha. Either does Maiser Rishon the way that we paskin. But Maiser Ani may not even have some of the other elements. As we say, one way is that shichasem. The Bris Halevi, because if you give it to them because they're currying favor or is skar, so it's not muchach that you're giving to them betoras coin, betoras levi, etc. Does that apply to aniyim? Does it matter in Maiser Ani that you're giving it to him betoras ani as opposed to the fact that you're giving it to him and he gets it? Right, that's an interesting question. In tzedakah, that's the famous sifrei. The sifrei says if you walk in the street and money falls out of your pocket, and somebody, and an ani picks it up, that, you're mekayim mitzvah of tzedakah on that. What about Maiser Ani? There's no shevet ha-kohanim or levim. There is a, equivalent for aniim, presumably. Moreover, if it's about lemoshka, legdula, shulchan gavoa, does that apply to Maiser Ani? So, since the Rambam in Hilchos Lulav and everywhere else, connects it to that idea, so the fact that he dropped ani is not surprising. And okay, so that's in terms of that. Now let's move on to Arev. Yeah.
Is it clear that there is an inyan of Shulchan Gavoah?
In what?
By Maiser Ani and stuff.
Yeah, I think. Listen, if you want to say that that the ani has to have like a certain akaras hatov, that this is not just a chiyuv tzedakah and tivuah, but that this has a special status of I don't think it's impossible to say. I think it's much harder to say. It's certainly less obvious than I would even say, that qualitatively it has a different expression than Truma and even Maiser Rishon, which isn't. You're given Maiser Rishon because, Chelef Avodoso, Nesunim Nesunim Heim, and it's all part of, again, what the Rambam says in the end of, Hilchos Shemitah about being Chel. Hashem. It's much hard to say that. Could you say that in Matnas Aniyim there's also an element of it being, Betoras, Zocha Mim Hashem and Ezechi? Maybe. But either way, it wouldn't express itself in Lamashcha or Ligdula or B'nai Malachim, for sure. What?
We have a dinim of like Amira Laniyim Kinsira
Lahedyodan. Right. Okay. I understand. But that's more in. How difficult is it to transfer? How much is like hatfasa, kind of in the background of everything, Shema Aretz Amloa. So, all right. I'm just saying, in terms of, as a Nesina, I think it's very hard. As a Matana, I think it's very hard to say that. I think it's very hard to say it. Okay. In terms of chova, giving tzedakah, and how easy it therefore is, it's almost reflexive. You just got to like clue in, you know, to the automatic tzedakah, you know, nature of, you know, Hashem Haaretz Umlo'a. I think it's much easier than to say. Put it this way: the language of the Rambam in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Yud Tes, I don't think applies to Matnas Aniyim. I don't think it applies to Pidyon of Ani. That's really what I'm saying. Okay. Now let's continue with Arev. Okay. Eitan, you want to read about Arev? Okay, we've seen this Gemara. We have to just go through it again quickly. Amarava, go ahead. Teimon leploni v'kadosh anilach. Yeah. So this is what happens?
So it seems that the Isha tells him to give money to someone else.
The Isha is the, you know, she's the instigator here, right? In a good way, though, or the initiator. She says, oh, lend money to Ploni, right? And by doing that, in lieu of Kesef Kiddushin, or I'll be Mekadesh, or whatever, I'll be Mekadesh, Miskadeshes to you, right? And that works, midin arev. Go ahead. So the language of the Gemara is, of course, very interesting here. Go ahead. Yeah. So what's interesting about the language? Two things are worth noting. Eitan?
We're saying that the Shiva is nothing to do with
Hanau. Well, we're not saying that. I mean, where does it say that?
I said, Lomati Hanau Liyadeh.
Oh, okay. So, good, I got it. So, I mean, number one, what is a slow mati hanu aliyave? Right? Isn't that gufa depend on how you understand arev? Right? So there are two ways, of course, to deal with that line. Right? It should remind us of other things that we, you know, seen this year and other times. If you take it literally, it does seem to imply that the way that arev works, that's what you were saying, right? Is not midin hana. Because if it's midin hana, so he didn't give her a $100 check, he gave her, you know, a shava kesef check of hana. He made her feel so good that he, you know, jumped when she said jump, that, you know, there's nothing better than that, right? So that is the kesef. So it is mati hana liyata. That's what you're saying. So that, of course, is exactly what you should be picking up on, 100%. Is it foolproof? And that, it doesn't just exclude hana liyada. You know, it also raises a question about another circumstance, namely, or another perspective. What else? What's another way to look at Ari? Because we've talked about Ari before. We just want to expand on it a little bit more now, flesh it out a little more. That would be, you're saying, so the view that says that Arev is a kinyan hana, or is an exchange based on Kabbalah's hana, which is Shava Kesef, we'll call it, or whatever, or more than Kesef, or the basis of Kesef, whatever, depending on whether you want to like the Ritva or others, right? That idea is seems to be a little pressured by the statement, by the description, that lo mati hana liyade. That's what you're pointing out. Well, moreover, what else seems to be pressured? What are the other perspectives on Arev that we're aware of? Say again? What do you mean, Arev is a form of bilus? What do you mean by that? Well, how else could Arev work? Either Arev works because since the Arev is being heeded, his words are being heeded, so that, you know, gives him a high, right? It makes him feel trustworthy, or like he's a powerful, you know, he's a mover and a shaker, whatever you want to explain it, right? So that's hana for him. That's like money in the bank. So it's like, you know, you gave him money, right? Or, how else could Arev work? The things that we've discussed already. Yoni? Yeah, instead of the Kabbalah's, you know, Kesef being to, you know, to him, right? maybe it's like a Kabbalah to the Arev. Maybe the Arev is like a Lova in the sense that, you know, again, what happens? She says, right, Tein mana liploni. Right? So he gives the mana to Ploni. He puts it in Ploni's hands. But since she's the one, you know, who's calling the shots, so Al Pidin, it's like he gave it to her. Well, he has to put it in her hands. He puts it where she wants it. Right? So that too, that the Gemara is saying, Lo Mati Hanaliyade. Right? This line of the Gemara, at least on the Resha, the first half of the Gemara, probably works the best if you take the third view that we discussed, which is not that it's the equivalent of Kesef because of the Hana, not that it's Ki'ilu, the Arev is Mekabel, and therefore the Arev is a kind of a Lova. Although, again, you could say the Arev is a kind of a Lova, perhaps even if he's not a Mekabel. That might still be true. Maybe as a status of Lova, shame Lova, even if you don't, not triggered by the Kabbalah Samos. That's also possible. That would maybe work. Or what else might work? A very prominent view? Ischaivus. Yeah. Who says Ischaivus? Of the Rishonim? Not in Hilchos Ishos, but in general. What? The Rambam. Right, the Rambam that we discussed already. Which one? And I told you to look at it again. Yud Aleph Tesvav in Hilchos Mechira, where the Rambam talks about, what does he talk about there? A general ischaivos, nothing to do with Arev. The Rambam says if you're makabel ischaivos, even if you put it in the form of a debt, and we know it isn't true, everybody agrees it isn't true. I say, oh, I owe you $1,000, my friend. Right? You know it isn't true, he knows it isn't true, the Adam know it isn't true, but he formulated it that way as a kind of ischaivos, or he's beskaiv himself. Says the Rambam, that works. Kimo shibud ha'arev. What do you mean, kimo shibud ha'arev? Right? What's it got to do with an Arev? The answer is, it sounds like, this is based on the riff in Ksubas, that Tischaivus alone is binding, and it's midin Arev. Okay, is that Kimanda Matir Liyade? Certainly not. The problem with that is, that's the second thing I wanted you to comment on. What's that? So the first thing is the language of lo mataliyade, and whether or not it excludes certain of these possibilities. We'll discuss the other side of it in just a second. It sounds like it, if you take it literally, it excludes hana, and it excludes lova betoras ki'ilu kibel as amos. I don't think it excludes lova as a shame, as a status. Okay, it doesn't exclude the Rambam's idea in Hilchos Mechira of the Schaivus. But the problem is, just one second, but the problem is, just one second, just the problem is the next part, the next line. I'll get to you in just a second, yeah?
Shibud? If it's only a Schaivus,
if it's only a Shibud, then?
If it's only a Schaivus, how is he Mishabit
himself?
Okay, that's the Rambam's Chiddush. How does?
How is he Mekudesh?
How is he Mekadesh and Ether, Weisha, with the Schaivus? Meaning, what's the problem is the next part of the Gemara, which says that, Afagav lo mati hanal yade kamishabe nafshe hayisanami afagav lo mati hanal yade. Notice the Gemara added a word kamishabda umekanya nafsha. Ooh, how'd you get from mishabda to mishabda umekanya nafsha? That's the problem, right? Bishlomo, if you say that arev is midin kesef or arev is midin kabbalah sa kesef. Right, or either Hana, in other words, instead of Kesef, or Kabbalah Samos, then that's fine for Kiddushei Kesef. But if it's pure as Chaibus, then we should have a problem. Itamar was a problem?
I don't understand why the Lashon of Gemara ends up dying in favor of Chaibus view of
Arev. Only if you take literally. So let's talk about the alternative, and maybe this will answer your question. If not, you'll ask it again. So what's the alternative to saying, you know, lo mati hanali, lo mati liyade, is that it doesn't mean legally, it means, right, visually or legal or physically, right? Moshe lema davar dome, our discussion of adam chashuv, right, which is next gemara over, but we talked about already. Namely, the Arishonim will say that Nasna he, the Amar, who, what does Tosa say? Lo psika milsa, Tosa Sanheim at base, because of Adam Chashuv. And then the Rajba and the Rambam, right, or to say the Rambam, and also explicated more fully by the Rajba, so disagree with Tosas, because they say that Nasna he, the Amar who, is always puzzle, and Adam Chashuv is not a case of Nasna he, the Amar who, because Mekadesh with the Hana, and that's Nasna, that's Nasan who, the Amar who. So the question is, what do the Balei Tosas hold? So we showed already that there are some who understand the Balei Tosas as saying that they really disagree, that there's a case of Nasna he, right, the Amar who, which really works. I mean, that it's not Kiddushin with the Hana. The Hana is a Betzare, but it's a Kiddush in Kiyikach Yishisha, that even if legally, right, it's not Nesina, since the reason that her Nesina is important is because of her, right, interest in, you know, in him, or her being basically, you know, her perceiving his approval, you know, as a dvar hana. So you can be flexible. That too is ki yikachi shisha in a broader way, even though the nesina is really not hers. Even though the nesina is hers and not his. That's one way that Balei Tosas were understood. We documented that at the time. The easier way to understand it is when Tosas said lo psika milsa nasan hiva amru, they didn't mean legally like the Rajba. They don't really disagree with the Rajba on Adam Chashuv. They just think that, you know, the fray, the terminology in the Gemara, right, is as people, you know, perceive it more superficially, not the lumdus or the legal definition. I'm just giving that as an example. So if you want to say that the Kiddushin, or that the, and this is what you have to say according to the whole group of Rishonim, if you want to say that there's a Kabbalah here, Midin Arev, or that there's a Kabbalah of Arev Midin Kesef Shulhana, then you just have to say that what the Gemara meant was, this is not an obvious or typical, you know, Mati Hanaliyade, that's the Chiddush of Arev, but what the Chiddush of Arev is that Alpidin, it's Mati Hanaliyade. You agree?
I don't understand why it can't be that Alpidin, the Arev is receiving the money.
Alpidin, the Arev is receiving the money. Okay.
But it's just not considered Hana because the Arev doesn't get any rights to use it.
But still, Mati Hanaliyada, she's the Arev here.
What's the Hana?
Well, if Alpidin, she's a Makabel, then it's Mati Liada.
Why
can't
you be a Makabel without receiving Hana?
Oh, okay. You mean you're saying it only, I hear that. You're saying it only really excludes the Ritva view, or the view of Hana as Kesa. That, you agree, is a problem. But you're saying something else, very interesting. You're saying that that maybe it's Mati Mamona Liada, but what about a situation where there's Kabbalas Hamamon, but it's Mamon She'en Bohana? Know what you're saying?
Yeah.
Nice. So if you hold that Arev, I was saying, well, there's still a way to, I still stick by what I say also, but it's added to it. That's the way to, if you say the Ritva way, you have to say that the Gemara is not a legal statement. If you say the Rambam way, Inukos Mechira, then you have a very serious problem explaining the Mekanya, obviously. By the way, this is a question that the Achronim ask. Machna Ephraim, in his little section on Hilchos Arev, pretty much starts with this. He starts with the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira. He says, oh, you see from the Rambam that basically the Mechayev of Arev is his chaivos alone. I, what do you do with the Gemara in Bava Basra, which we'll get to in a few minutes, Kufayin Gimel, but we've talked about it already. Name of the Gemara says, Ahi Ana. The answer is that that's what neutralizes the Asmachta, right? But really, it's the chaivos, which is Koveya. And then the Machna Ephraim says, that's great, but how does he read the Gemara in Kedushin? How could he be Mekadesh with his chayvus. And then he says something interesting, which we'll talk about. So that is really problematic for the Mekanya part, but it works perfectly for the Lamati Hanaliyade part. The Ritva Kesef Al Yedei Hana literally can't work in the Gemara at all. They have to say the Gemara is Lav Dafka. But if you say that we're dealing with the status of Lova, I would say two things. What I was saying before was, maybe this person has a status, a shame Lova, but that doesn't mean that Al Pidin, it's Ki'ilu Kibel HaKesef Biyade. It's Lo Kibel HaKesef, but Al Pidin, being the backup for the Lova, makes you a Lova. That's what I was going to say. That's what I'm still saying. Itamar is adding another element, but I think there's something that needs to be said about it, and that is that even if it's considered that the Arev is Mekabel the Kesef, right, it's a Kabbalah Belihana. Just to add two things, though, to that. Number one is it really a Kabbalah Belihana given that the Gemara says Bahiyana?
The Gemara Bavasa says not Bahiyana?
Yeah. That's quite, think about it.
To do with the Kabbalah Samoa.
Only a din in the Sakhta.
The Arev likes being a Kabir.
I'm saying, so he has money. He's saying he has, but he doesn't have Hanav from the money.
Right.
Okay, he has two things. He has the money, and he loves being a Gevir.
Right.
Is that true? I mean, somebody would love to be a Gevir? Moving to shape?
Anecdotally, I think so.
I guess hypothetically. It's interesting you said anecdotally, and I'm saying hypothetically. Yeah. Anyways, that...
I don't mean reflexive.
No, I understand that. It's just your experience with, you know, the bigger world out there. No, 100%. Hey, Khalila. They say that you come from a good home, so of course it wouldn't be... anyways, so that's an interesting... That's number one in terms of Itamar's idea, that the Hahiyana of Balbasra Lechud, again, it would have to be for the Asmachta part two. You'd have to say there are two dinim, right? Secondly, and this of course is also interesting, that there is a din in, even when there's Kabbalah's Kesef, that there's a din of Kesef Shalhana in a way, if you want to say what you're saying, not just in Ishus, but in Mammon. I mean, the Kesef only works when there's Kesef Shalhana, when there's Hana through the Kesef. A Kesef denuded of its Hana is a flawed Kesef, right?
I'd have to say that.
Why do you have to say that? Because you want to explain that Arev, right, works. Oh, on the contrary, you're saying... let me say it this way. You're saying, oh, it works because of the Kesef, even though there's Hana, because you don't need Kesef Shalhana. And what are you going to say in Kiddushin, then? That you don't need Kesef Shalhana either. Okay. It's the opposite. Number one, you're going to say that Baba Basra is Asmachta.
It would come out that you don't need
Kesef Shalhana. That's what I want to say. Correct. Not that you do.
If you hold that the Arev is command the Kabbal.
Correct. Yeah. Because that's an important thing to... In other words, the whole Rambam idea, right, Udi'ime, would be rejected. That's an important point here, if you said that. Okay, good. Excellent. Good. Let's continue for another second. Go ahead. Helich mana of the Scotchy Laploni. Yeah. Eve Knani Lab Afagav, what's up? Okay, so the same kind of question to raise, but we're going to hold off on Eved Kenani because I want to do Ari first. But here it's the parallel opposite, right? Once again, the Gemara's language makes it pretty clear that there's no, right? The Gemara previously is talking about no Kabbalah in Arev. Here we're talking about no Nesina. And the question once again is that really true that you can be Mekadesh without being a Nosein, right? Or... Once again, are we talking about a legal, what the perception is, but Al Pidin, this is considered to be an Asina. Same kind of question, okay? But what's fascinating about it, of course, is that when you put them together, if there's Arev and there's Eved Kenani, so if you say in both cases the language isn't literal, So then you have Nesin of a Kabbalah and you have Nesin of a Kabbalah. Right? If you say in both cases the language is literal, right? So then you come up with a very interesting conclusion, and that is, Moshe? What's the interesting conclusion? The what? You don't need both. And you don't need only one, as you could have thought, that the question of Kiddushin is, right, you know, we have to figure out what's Kiddushin. Do you need both, or you need one? But the idea that you could alternate, that you could either be Mekadesh through Nesina or through Kabbalah, right, that is much more Mekudash. Correct? If you take literally these two Gemaras, that there's no Kabbalah, not that there's no Kabbalah's Hana, that there's no Kabbalah at all, and there's no Nesina at all, right? So then...
The Gemara doesn't even go that far. The Gemara just says that there's no Kabbalah's Aisha.
No Kabbalah's Aisha.
There is a Kabbalah's Hamal's Abura Kedushin.
Right. So you'd have to say that you don't need Kabbalah's Aisha. Correct. Well, that's one of the things I want to say. That maybe you need Kabbalah or maybe you even need Nesina. You just don't need Nesina Sabala or Kabbalah Saisha. Correct. That's, I think, open on the table. And that's kind of what I was referring to way back when you asked me about a month ago or 3 weeks ago, is there any way to maintain Nesina, right, in Eved Kenani? We'll talk about Shlichos and the other things and Schia. Okay. Well, and Nesina. Okay. Even Bailus, we'll see. Somebody's Bailus.
We were dining then about whether the husband has that Bailus on the 50th.
Right, because I was dealing in a more limited way. But we'll get to it. Okay. So in what the Gemara is focusing on here is her Kabbalah and his Nesina, the Lokachasar Velamidi, right, Kakani Leil Hayisasa. Again, if you want to be literal about it, the Gemara isn't even saying that there's no Nesina. The Gemara might be saying that his Nesina has no downside for him, no chisaron, right? That's also, okay. The problem with this is, so then an intriguing thing emerges, that if you want to say that what the Gemara means is there a Mechayev Kabbalah, or is the Mechayev, right, Moshe, Nesina. So then the Gemara is really saying, oh, Arev is a case where you have Nesina Bali Kabbalah, Eved Kenani is a case where you have Kabbalah, you know, Bali, Nesina. That's very mechudash, that it's not one or the other, but that both of them, that either one or the other works, if you take it kipshuto, right? Then, of course, it becomes even crazier in the next line, right? Because that, at least, I think we could explain. I'm going to go back and try to explain it. It's a dinin ki yikach ishisha, put it this way. It's not worse. Any of these cases may not be worse. They're probably better than what we were suggesting for the Tosas is literal Lo psika milsa, right? Nasna hivya marhu. Meaning, there's maybe instead of trying to figure. Let me say it this way: our impulse, and I think it's a correct impulse, and it's the majority view of the Rishonim for sure, is to say, well, the Torah says ki yikach ish isha, and we should be defining that as rigorously as possible, and we should be defining it by accepted, you know, definitions. Like Bailus, like Nesina, like Kabbalah, right? And therefore, you know, what Mimanushak, what does it mean? Ki yikach, ki nosein, ki hi mekabeles, right? Like, what is that? And that's why it's a little surprising, right, that you would have, maybe you need both, maybe you need one, but the idea that you could have one or the other is strange. Right? The idea that you could have one or the other, though, could be explained if you say that the word ki'ikach doesn't have to be translated in this context so narrowly / rigorously, even though that is our correct tendency to think that way. Maybe it has a broader kind of a connotation, that the reason the Torah uses the expression ki'ikach ishisha, they're more interested in where this comes, in the direction of it. Just that's kind of what we're saying for some views in Adam Chashuv, and we had it in other cases too, right? We're more interested that it shouldn't be Tilokach Isha Le'isha, and it shouldn't be Kitikach Isha, and it shouldn't be an inconsistency, you know, between the Nesina and the Amir. This has to come from the husband, you know, to the wife. But if that is the case, if that's what's happening, if it's, you know, in the right direction, because that represents an important principle in the Maisa Kedushin, in the Yitzira Sa'ishus, maybe even in the Ishus itself. As long as that's taking place, there can be some flexibility how that goes. So maybe you need either a kicha, or a kabbalah, right? That might be enough. There's a way to look at it. Bigger problem or bigger challenge, but you might still need to say this, is an Eved Kanani, right? Why, Moshe? Since you're, what's Eved Kanani? I'm sorry, Shneim. Sorry, my fault. That sounds like it's not either or, but neither. Right? Read that line just very quickly. Yeah. Okay. That's so. Gemara says, "Me dummy." I mean, at least he has the other one. Yeah. Yeah. So we end up saying, it sounds like we're saying, we'll see whether we paskin this way, that Shneim works as well. Even though Shneim has neither, to say you need, you know, one, or to say you need both is very reasonable. To say that you need one consistently, whichever one it is very reasonable. To say that you can have one or the other is already more problematic. To say that even when technically you have neither, right, you're fine. That's a much bigger chiddush. Yeah.
I don't hear the kasha because it seems like the Gemara is establishing principles as to what's considered to be a valid Kabbalah.
No, that's the other way.
A valid Nesina.
Okay, no, that's the other way. I'm saying if we don't interpret that way, that's what we were saying before. What we're trying to say is that there are two ways to read this whole Shaka Vatari of the Gemara. One is that the Gemara is saying, you know, this may look like lo mati hana liyadeh, or because of lo mati hana liyadeh, it may work, to take your idea. It may look like there's no nesina, but kamash balan, that isn't exactly true. And then the other side also, like, Eved Kanani may seem like, you know, it's not a Kabbalah, or to say it a little differently, that you don't need chaser in order to be a Kabbalah, but Kamash Malan,
what's the other way of reading
Kamash? That the Gemara is saying it literally isn't. But then you have to say, I mean, it isn't a Nesina, it's not a Kabbalah. It's not that we're Kamash Malaying a more flexible, or that these are, take it like, you know, like the Ritva. So this is Kesef, and Adam Chashuv is Nasan, who? We're not saying that. We're saying in Achanami that Kiika, Kishisha, that Ishus doesn't really fit into the typical, you need both, you need one or the other, as long as you get the overall effect of Kiika, Isha, that's fine.
Is the Ritva's view?
No. I'm contrasting it with the Ritva. The Ritva says.
I just don't see who's reading the Gemara to say...
I'm just saying if you read the Gemara in a literal way...
Everyone agrees that midin arev means that however the details work out, the arev is the one who is the beneficiary or the recipient.
No.
Whether it be of the hana.
Not true.
I mean, it's irrelevant whether it's the hana or the mos or whatever. The point is that the arev is considered to be the kiddushin mishabed.
No, I mean, again, if in the end of the day, and again, I don't want to get bogged down this because I want to highlight some of the Arif things now, but if in the end of the day we decide that Harav is not...
Who's reading the Gemara as denying that...
The simple reading of the Gemara, the Pashtus reading of the Gemara, if you take it literally, is that the Gemara is saying you can have Kiddushin without a Nesina.
But where did the Gemara even suggest that?
If you say Lomati Hanali Yade means not that this is the way it looks, or that this is an adjustment.
That you could be a legal recipient of something without receiving something.
Or no, or you don't need to be a legal recipient at all.
Who reads the Gemara that way then? Midin Arei.
The simple reading of the Gemara is that way. What we're trying to explain is that you shouldn't read the Gemara Kipshuto. But the simple reading of the Gemara is the Gemara is saying Arev is a case where there is no Kabbalah. And Avid Kanani is a case where there's no Nesina. And originally the Gemara thought...
But there is a Mekabel somewhere.
Right. So is that relevant or not? That's what we're legally discussing. So just hold off on that. That's what we're trying to figure out.
Somebody who reads the Gemara today?
I think that's a simple reading of the Gemara, and there are many Rishonim who read it this way, but we'll get to that in just a couple minutes. But basically, if you take the Gemara literally, and you don't make a distinction between Mechasra or Hana'a on the Mati side, if you're saying that this is the way it looks, but it's wrong, or this is an adjustment on what Nesina and Kabbalah is, but you're saying that the Gemara says, here's an example, Beli Nesina, many Rishonim read it that way, here's an example, Beli Kabbalah, and here's an example where you can do one or the other. And here's an example where actually you have problems with Nesina and Kabbalah. Then you end up having a much more flexible view on what Ki Yikach is. But we'll get to it. Okay, so let's take a step back for the moment and analyze these three positions, at least, in Arav. So I wanted you to look at three Gemaras as quickly. There's many, many more. Noah? Yeah, let's start with Bava Basra, the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Kufayin Gimel?
Yeah.
Correct. So this is a very interesting Gemara. Go ahead. It's an interesting Gemara on the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Hamalvus Chaveri De Arev, Lo Yifram and Arev. Lo Yifram and Arev. Correct?
Yeah.
So what does that mean? You don't know what it means.
Yeah, the obvious Gemara seems to mean, you know, flip him from the lobos.
That he's not chayiv at all.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, b'im amar lo almanah she'efram, b'mi she'erza yifra mina arev. Correct? Okay. So what do you make of that? Then the Gemara jumps in. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an exception. Even that's not so clear, though, right? Does he have to say almanah she'efra tchila? Under what conditions is he able to collect from the Arev? Only when there's no other property, when there's no other Shibudim, when there's no other Bnei Chori? Right? Not clear. Neither case in the Mishnah is clear. Not the typical case of Arev, which could be read in a draconian way, that it doesn't work at all, or practically doesn't work at all. And when it comes to Almanah She'efra, right, it's not clear how expansive that is. Correct? Okay, so then the Gemara has like a very fascinating little piece here. Go ahead. What does that mean? So what does the Gemara think, and what is the Gemara saying?
The Gemara thinks that the lobos never can collect from the Arev unless the lobos is gone.
The only time you'll ever collect from an Arev is if the Arev cannot produce the lobos. Or the lobos is gone, basically. But any time there's a lova around, even if he doesn't have money to pay, or he refuses to pay, or he doesn't have money to pay, either one, then the Arev will not be a collection source. So what does that tell you? And what's the guy actually saying? I mean, what do the words mean?
Something like,
I committed to bring this guy, I owe you to bring the guy here, and he's here.
Here he is.
Right, here he is. What do you want from me? So obviously, this Habamina, right, captures a lot of skepticism about Arev. It doesn't mean it doesn't work at all, but it certainly doesn't sound like any kind of lova. I mean, if you want to be an Akshan, maybe you could argue, oh, it's a lova in very specific circumstances, but it doesn't sound that way. It sounds like basically this is an extraneous hischaivus right? It has nothing to do with being a lobe. He's not mekabel, right? It's not. It's an extraneous ischaibus under very limited circumstances. I promised that I'd bring this guy, I'd produce this guy, and those are the only circumstances in which I am going to be. In a way, it goes back a little bit to Anochi Arvenu, which is about physical, guaranteeing physical presence. Although that may not be the point of it, right? Which the Gemara considers as a possible hava, possible makar. Okay, so the hava mina of the Gemara was that an arev is certainly not a lova. Okay, it doesn't sound like it's much of a, it's not a kinyan kesef either. It's not an exchange either. It sounds like it's a schaivus. That would work much better. Yeah. I said you might say that, but here remember, that's why I said I think you could theory say that, but just remember that even if he's refusing to pay or even if he has nothing to pay with, that's still not included. That's a little hard to see.
Extreme limitation, but still that's
what I said before. If you really insist on it, I think you could say it, but it doesn't really sound. I'm just saying the circumstances are so limited that I can't prove to you that it's not so. But it doesn't really resonate, as being very reasonable to me. Because, at minimum, if you're some sort of a backup lobe, if the guy doesn't have a penny to his name, then what does that have to do with physical presence? We're interested in financial equity here. He has to be physically present? He's there, but he doesn't own a nickel?
He's creating extreme restrictions upon when he actually.
Yeah, I understand. But they aren't, remember that no one outlined any of these restrictions. This is the stam what an arev is. If that's the stam, if you said to me, stam arev is something, but if a person made these tanoim, does that mean he's not a stam arev anymore and it's just his chaivos? Or could that just be the limited circumstances in which he becomes the backup or the lova? I would say to you, I'm not sure, but maybe. But here we're talking about what a stam arev is. For a stam arev to be so limited and to be about physical presence, to me, right, smacks of not being a lova at all. That's how I would read it. Okay, let's continue. Keep going. Ooh. So what did the Gemara think what that meant? Originally, the Gemara thought that that's Persian law. That the arev's function is just to produce the lova. Right? And that's the end of it. Okay. I guess we could try to figure out, try to find Persian law, the period. But it's not true anyway, so it won't help us, right? Because it turned out to be false Persian law. Go ahead. Oh, so that is what? The opposite. Persian law is that you can go after the arev even when the lova apparently has the means to pay. That sounds an awful lot like. And this is a standard, right? A default, a stam arev. That sounds like the arev is a lova, right? Maybe even the primary lova. What?
Persians have lundus.
Yeah. Okay, keep going. Why do you think we spent so much time there? Yeah, go ahead. So what does that mean? I guess they don't have lundus. So is this the pshat in the Yisur Arkos? I don't know. Talked about it last year, right? Eila mishpate basher tasim lifneihem. Right? So, of course, lifneihem v'lo lifnei Arkos. That's last year's topic. But it's asher tasim lifneihem. Meaning, right? Kishulchan ha'aruch. Part of the Eila mishpate basher tasim lifneihem is that the laws have to be logical, and that you're supposed to they have to be presentable, right, in a logical way. So, like Dina de Parsai, was that their hallmark that they were arbitrary, that they were indecipherable, that they were inexplicable? Is that part of the Din of Arkos? Because it's not Asher Tasim Lifneihem. I don't know. Just thinking aloud. Okay, let's continue. You can put it on last year's. What?
We can ask the post-Pesach class for history.
I mean, are they studying Persian history? Okay, Elamar of Nachman. Oh, so of course, isn't this class, it's a great setup, right? The Gemara thought that the Arev just produces the Gavra Lova. He's not a Makabel at all. He's not a Lova at all. He has no shame Lova. He has not. He's certainly not a Makabel. Then the Gemara thought maybe he's the equal or Ikar Lova and Makabel. He's the first address you go to in a Milva. Wow. Not a backup even. Right? Now the Gemara is saying, no. He's not, you know, so limited, and he's not so expansive. So the question we want to know is, this is an adjustment on the Dina de Parsai, meaning he's a Lova, but he's not the first Lova, or basically it's an adjustment on what they thought was the Dina de Parsai, meaning it's a skyvus, and therefore, of course, you don't take him Tchila, right? Tanya Namihachi. But again, it's also interesting because remember the Mishnah didn't say Tchila. So is the Lumdus in the Mishnah that you can't be Gover from an Arev, you know, because it's only a din of Eschaivos, except that we're not as draconian as the Persians, as what they thought the Persians were, and therefore if he doesn't have a penny to his name, that also constitutes as Eschaivos. And then the Mishnah is still right that, you know, there's no Piron, a Milva Minha Arev. Not really, right? Or is it that, you know, that's totally wrong, meaning it's just he's not, he's a lova, basically. Right? Go ahead. Oh, so now the question is that a new chalos? When the guy says, I mean, Misha Erza, that's what, you know, crosses over the rubric, that's what makes him a lova. Till then, he's not a lova at all. Or is that a technical adjustment on being, you know, a real R. Is it a technical adjustment in Eschaivos? Is it a technical adjustment in already being a Lova? Or is this the Rubicon, meaning when he says, Almanas, you know, She'efra, Mimi She'erza, only then does he become a Lova? Very hard to know. So the discussion in the Rishonim, which is, does he have to, when he says, Almanas She'efra, Mimi She'erza, does he have to add the word Tchila? And what if the Lova has B'nai Chari? Does it still apply, even though he said it? And what if the Lova has Mishubadim, but not B'nai Chari? Is it still a hierarchy? So these all could be questions. Again, we're not going to get enmeshed in Balbasa right now, or in Shavuos, or in Makos, but I just want to touch them for a minute. These all could be Umdana questions, Tanai questions, like what does he mean? But do you understand that the more we look at Arev naturally as a hischaivus, right, the more we would still see the real Lova as the first address. Whereas, if what we're really saying is that either in the case of Mimisha Ephra Erza, or in a, even more so in a typical Arev, that he is fundamentally a Lova, right, so then it's not that easy, you know. Maybe on the contrary, maybe, you know, he's a Lova, but of course, you know, the guy who's, you know, Mati Hana Liade, right? He's not just a Makabel, but he's Makabel with Hana. You know, he should still take the brunt of it, but that's a quantitative thing. So once you say Mimisha Erza, right, it becomes pretty easy to go back to what would have been the fundamental status of the Arev anyway. Right, so some of these questions in the Rishonim perhaps are linked. Go ahead. Am Rav Huna. Tevak Shenu. That's the story with Yaakov, right? Yeah. So again, that's like, is that about Halva? Clearly not. Interesting, it's about Hischaivus, right? It's about Hischaivus to produce someone or to do some, you know, that would be the makar for an arev, maybe. Because if you say arev is just a shkaibus, then, or shibud, like the Rambam in Parakeet Aleph, makes a lot of sense. If not, then you have to say it's a little more chameleon-esque. In other words, there's something about this which proves that, I think what you have to say is that what you see from this pasuk and what is a linchpin in Arev that is more expansive than Ischaivos is still the notion of Ischaivos as a chalos. Meaning, the difference between a Havtacha B'Alma, which we hold you true, and a kind of chalos Hishtabdus or Ischaivos. Mashal Lamad Over Dome, and you could be Mechalek, that's why I call it Mashal, it's parallel. When we talked about Sudar, right, Kinyan Sudar, right, one of the things we talked about is that the line between, when we, sometimes we say Kinyan Dvarim B'Almahu, Kinyan Sudar is not going to help you, Kinyan Dvarim B'Almahu, like, or using language of the Rambam Parakei Chutz Mechira, right, there are people who think, you know, that you need Sudars when you don't need them, and there are people who think that you need, that you, you know, that, 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 you know, there are people who think that you need Sudar when you don't, and there are people who think that Sudar is going to help you when it doesn't, right? Meaning there's a fine line sometimes between Dvarim and a legal Chalos, meaning a Havtacha B'Alma and something that is legally more substantial. So maybe that's what we're saying here as well. It's true that Arev may be more, right, than simply a Ischaivos, but either, and more always, or more in certain contexts, that would also be important. Is there some flexibility in Arev itself that it changes in different contexts? But the linchpin of Arev is the idea of Anochi Arvenu, the idea that Ischaivos is not just a Havtacha. It's not a Havtacha which is implemented Ba'asid, right, it's a chalos that is here now. Again, another mashal ma'adavar doma, the way we're talking about milva, right? If you want to say prias balchov mitzvah, and something happened now, which triggers something that'll happen later, but there's nothing in between, kind of. Or whether or not there isn't this like legal status of owing, of a debt, of having a debt over him, of having the obligation. You know, the Malva has a debt over the Lova. The Lova has a constant obligation, a chiyuv, a kov to the Malva. What is a hischaivus, a shibud of an arev? Is it just a enforceable promise, but the promise has a connotation of being like a chovas hagavra, right? But an enforceable one, or, you know, one with teeth, or, you know, triggers punishments and consequences if you ignore it. Or, no, there's something called a chalos hischaivos. There's a shibud, literally, like what a shibud implies, right? Not just, I will do in the future. I will do in the future because in present, you know, I already have this obligation, and this obligation has a legal status. In which case, maybe in the context of a loan, right, that is the linchpin for creating the status of Lova. Maybe you couldn't be a Lova, right, if there wasn't a difference between a Hischaivos and a Havtacha. If every Hischaivos was only a Havtacha, then for sure you couldn't have, you know, Ki'ilu Kibel or Shame Lova. That's kind of what I'm suggesting. Or maybe even in terms of Hana, because we'll see in a moment. Even if the basis of Arev is Hana, maybe it's only considered a legally concrete enough pana because the ischaivos is a shibud. Of course, if you take the Rambam's view and you limit it to that, but I think it's hard to do that given the Chazishas, but you could have otherwise, then Anochi Arvenu as an extraneous ischaivos, or, you know, still more, I think, than a Havtacha, but you don't have to say the rest of it. I think that in part, that's what the Machane Ephraim is trying to suggest for the Rambam, as we'll see. But okay, let's continue. That's Kablanus. So that, again, I don't want to get too deeply in this. You know, Mimisha Eretz Ephra Tchila. What about an Arev Kablan? Again, where you draw the line in these institutions, is it a qualitative line or a quantitative line? And what's on the other side of these lines? You know, Havtachos B'Alma, or Ischaivos, or Shame Lova, right? Or Ki'ilu Kibel? So the Gemara thinks, oh, that's like kablanos, stronger even, right? Dechsev.
Yeah.
Kablayo, yeah. No kedas be imre picha. Efo b'ni. Okay, so that's another possible makar. Again, okay, keep going. Let's, then we get to the part that we've already discussed. Keep going. Oh, so here, again, I think there are two ways to read this line in the Gemara. Obviously, it's very suggestive. What, that what, Noah?
Is he rejecting the Nitzir's custom?
What?
The Mimar, is that going, is assuming that the Nitzir's custom is just needs less
confidence?
Could be put in from Mishlei anyways.
It's hard to know, but let's, I hear that, I'm not sure about that. But, I mean, is he rejecting the need for a limud even?
Yeah.
I hear. Or maybe he's saying the limud's going to work, but it's only going to work if you hold Asmachta Lokanya. But either way, I can think now, in light of what we just said, there are two ways to read this Gemara. Right, the simple pshat is that the Gemara is saying that Orev is Eschaivus. Right? And therefore it depends on Asmachta Kanya, Asmachta Lo Kanya. Because it is, you know, again, what's a Haftacha, or what's a Guzma, and what's, you could say like that, what's a Dvarim B'Alma slash Haftacha? What's a Guzma? Right? And what's a Gmiras Das Shivud? What? Yeah, and then you have different ways of figuring that out, and so on. Then the Gemara, you know, turns around and says, maybe not so. But is there any other way? Do you have to say that that's the pshat in the Gemara? That this, if you freeze frame this line in the Gemara, that it's ischaivus and nothing more? Not in light of what I just said.
Maybe that's if there's low, but you can say he assumed that he had the ability to pay back.
No, I think in light of what I just said about Anochi Arvenu, I think what you might say is that no matter, even if you take the more expansive view of Arev, right, it's still built on the notion that a Hitzchaivos or a Shibud is more than a Haftacha, and that it's something serious and substantial. So if you hold Asmachta Lo Kanya, you could say, well, it's if you hold Asmachta, in other words, Kanya, then Arev is more than Ischaibus. But if you hold Asmachta Lo Kanya, right, you don't get to that point. It just, you know, it dies on the cutting floor because it also requires that you reach beyond Guzma and that there be a Chalos Gmiras Das. Right? Okay, let's continue. Next line. Yep. Seems like they're disentangled. Yeah. So here, once again, the simple pshat is, and this is the way certainly the Ritva read it, and the Rishonim who are talking about Hana in general, some of them who quote this, is that we're saying is, oh, the Yisod of Arev, just to put it in the frame of what you asked before, it's not the Pasuk, it's not Gzeres HaKasu, it's Hana. Right? So it's an exchange of Hana. It's Shava Kesef, or the real Kesef. Right? And that, again, works nicely with that, with the local Ritva, the Ritva and Kiddushin, and so on. And then what the Gemara is saying was, you thought this was about Ischaivus, or, you know, it's not at all. It's kesef, right? If you interpret like the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tezvav, so how do you read this Gemara? Right. So that's the second way, which is in Achanami, the Mechayev is Ischaivus, right? But the Hahi Ana is what neutralizes v'asmachta. Right? And this is a question in general. Is that really true? Now, we keep dealing with it from the Arev point of view and from the Hana point of view. But it's an interesting question to ask from the Asmachta point of view. Is it true that Hana solves all problems of Asmachta? Right? Depends how you read this Gemara. According to the Rambam, it sounds like it does. So I think I believe it in that same Tshuva the Rivash that we read for a totally different reason the other day. It's, what was it? Shin Mem Aleph. Right? We talked about Matan Menasel Hachzir. So he has a large discussion about this. And he quotes this Gemara. Is it, you know, whatever you have in Asmachta, is Hahiyana going to answer, it's going to solve it? Sounds like the Gemara is saying that. But if you read it like the Rambam, if you read the Gemara saying that Hana, you know, is a factor in its own right, and then the Gemara is not saying that. Right? Yeah?
No, but, you know, also to be careful, it's not just any Hana. It's more because it's believed than it is about Hana. It's not like
Hana
of Kesef
or Hana of... Well, I mean, it's not like Rekod Lefanai or Adabar Laich L'Shilton.
No.
Not so sure. I mean, the Ritvai quotes, the Rabbani quotes. Are you talking about according to the Ritva, or are you talking about according to the Rambam?
There's a general question if Hana would probably confront any
Asmachta problem. Oh, you're saying even into the question whether, I mean, even if you hold like the Rambam, you're saying, maybe this particular kind of Hana, because he listened to him,
exactly.
So, but as opposed to, well, I'm not so sure about it. That's an interesting question. Okay. But I'm just saying, I think the two of us are Rivash. I'll check it again, but I think that's what
it's
he...
It's the same thing that's not like Itamar is making between Anah's... Between the anecdotally, it's the same type of, like, Anah that...
We're trying to repair that whole thing from a few months ago. Between the two of you.
I hope so. I'm trying many times. No, the same way you can hide between, like, Anah's on top of Zion and the Anah over here in Bovastra, so...
You could. The Pashtos, they're similar. I mean, in the sense that you take something more seriously and you consider that it might really happen because there's a tzad, you know, in it for you as well. It's not all dread and, you know, I've been optimist. It'll be good. Yetov. You know, here there's, even if it won't be good, there's a silver lining or there's a payoff. Right, and that's anything that's more equitable,
of course, it seems like
and or that is less lopsided, is less of a guzma, is less of an asmachta.
For sure.
So I'm just saying the Rivash invokes this gemara. I'm just pointing out that we like this discussion and this gemara. We got to it in two different ways. I'm saying there are three ways to talk about it. One is when we talked about Hana in general. How do you read the Gemara in Azov, and how do you read the Gemara in, you know, about Levi, and how do you read the Gemara in Bamatzia, Masa Shomachinam Lios, Kishol, Bahiyana, right? And how do you read the Gemara, you know, here in Bava Basra, and how do you read the Gemara about good and e-good and Kuvzayan in Bava Basra, right? That's one question. Namely, is it really true that Hana is considered, you know, the equivalent of kesef, shava kesef, more than kesef, it's the more basic category. Kesef is hana, not even that hana is kesef. All the things with conversions, the whole business, right? That's one. That's why this reading this gemara in these few different ways is important for that. Then the second one was arev. Right? Is this gemara saying that arev is based on hana, or is this gemara saying that arev is hischaibus, but you can neutralize? Yes, that's very important for Arev. I'm just pointing out there's a third point, and that is it true, typically, let's say default, before you get to Chilukim, is it true that having Hana, right, is a factor in neutralizing Asma? Now you might say, even if you don't read the Gemara this way, it's true, because it's just true. And you also might say that if that's what the Gemara is saying here, maybe this Hana is a little different. Maybe. But the onus would be on you to prove it. It sounds like the Gemara is making an important statement about Asma. And that's the Rivash. And that tshuva is explained. Either way, is it impossible to say that the Bahiyana here serves like two functions? Number one, it establishes that there's no asmachta, right? But maybe it also, which is certainly what it seems to be doing for the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, but is it also possible that it contributes, the fact that there is a hi'ana contributes more to our impression that there's a shame loveh, or ke'ilu a kabbalas kesef. Maybe it wouldn't be considered hana or a legal hana, especially in light of the work that we've done this year, right, to try to show that hana isn't always pragmatic, meaning you like it, you don't, especially if you need to convert it, or, you know, the eclipsing problems and so on, right, which you've had again and again. So is the hana right here also a linchpin in saying that maybe because of hana, if not for the fact that this hayyano was considered something substantial, and again, not merely a havtacha, not merely a eschaibus, and what you get from it, right, is also something which concretizes it more, maybe that all goes into not merely neutralizing asmachta or creating a category of hano, which is a mechayiv b'fnei atzmo, but determining that, therefore, we can look at him as an arev, as a lova, rather, and maybe even as a makabel. We can look at him as a makabel because he does have hana, and therefore it's a way of, like we said, it's a kind of a super mitzarev, you know, idea. This is what the Machne Ephraim kind of wants to suggest. How can the Rambam say Perikid Al Halach Tezvav, you know, that arev is, you know, neutralizing asmachta and the skyvus, and then how's he going to read the Gemara in Kedushin Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, which he paskins? Right? The answer is hayyana does neutralize the asmachta, right? And that's what we care about, and that's what the Rambam is invoking, right? Now, the Rambam in Perek Aleph Mechira Halacha Tezvav doesn't say that Arev is only limited to Eschaibus. He says, I can prove to you that Eschaibus, right, is a chalos, and that it can, it's, you know, it's enforceable, it's a legal category. I can prove that from Arev. Right? That leads us to think that Arev is a Schaivus. Says the Machane Ephraim, but if that's the case, you're like, what do you do with Kiddushin? You can't be Mekadesh a person with a Schaivus. That's not called Keset. But maybe the reason that it's a Schaivus and not a Smachta, right? And again, he doesn't say so much about this. I might be reading more into it, but I believe this is what he means. Maybe the reason that it isn't a Havtacha B'Alma, but it's a Chalos which escapes Asmachta, and it's a Chalos Eschaibus, right, is because, you know, there's also Hahiyana. And that's why he's an Arev. Maybe in the context of Malva Velova, he needs to be an Arev. Right? But he wouldn't be an Arev if not for the fact that there's chalos eschaibus. So maybe what I'm saying, what I said before about Anochi Arvenu and the idea that Arev may even be a chameleon, in other words, Arev implies a certain level of shibud or eschaibus, you know, which then, you know, can become something else or can assume a different status, depending on its context, a reasonable, available, accessible status given its context. So in the context of a Malva Velova, he can even be considered a Lova, right? But that's because there's something called Eschaibus or Shibud, which isn't just a Havtacha, the Alma. Part of that story, right, is a way to read it is, the Gemara doesn't just say, oh, the Shibud is a Din of Arev, but the Asmachta neutralize the Asmachta. Rather, what we're saying is, no, this is a Chalos Shibud, as reflected by Hahiyana, and therefore it's not the Hana, that would be another way to counter the Rivash. The Hana isn't neutralizing all Asmachtas or the Asmachta, it's showing that this particular Ischaibud is just not an Asmachta, it's not an Asmachta but there's Hana, and therefore it's back to being plain Ischaibus, it's a particular Chalos Ischaibus. Understand? So if that's true, then that could be the basis for him being a Lova. I'm a cowbell. And if that's the case, then it can be the basis for Kenyan. And here there's also Kenyan Shalhana, which you need in addition. Right? For the Rambam's perspective. Atonim and Aslahaks here. Arev, Evet Kanani. Right? milva, and so on. So I'm trying to suggest the different ways to read. We're going to have to stop. Are they coming in? What's the story?
I think we're good.
I took care of them.
Okay. So that's in terms of Baba Basra. Okay, and I say, if you interpret this way, that it's more complex, and that there's an overlap between the Hahiyana, the Eskaivus part, and the Arev, or Makabel part, which I think you have to say, according to some Rishonim. Certainly we had the setup of different lines in the Gemara, and possibly even more, in three perspectives on Arev, right? So that's Baba Basra. The Gemaras in Makos and in Shavuos are of more limited significance. Is there a class here? Yeah, just go check. If not, well done, then down the hall. The Gemara in Shavuot, just to get it on the record, Josh, the Gemara in Shavuot is about what?
When the Malchus over kids die.
Yeah, but so just be, if you have to crystallize what's important for us, the relationship between Arev
and?
To what extent does Orev, is the Orev b'mokom alove?
Yeah.
If the Lova are Yisomim and they have like certain dinim, does the Orev pick up on that? That's an important question for this question, whether or not he's really a Makabel, a Lova, etc. And what about the Gemara Makos?
Well, there's also
about the relationship to the Lova or the relationship to the Malva?
Well, unclear.
Well, I mean, not so unclear. Right? Eloi v'tuvya krevida arva. What? We want to know whether they can be made. Can they be made if they're rechokim to the malva and the lova? Right. But they're krovim to the arev. There, the Gemara says, arev. I mean, malva basar arva azil. That's about the malva. Right. The Gemara in Shavuos says what? What's the language, Jakey? Arev basar yasmi ozel, or something like that. Meaning the lova. The Gemara statement in Shavuos, which is a maskana, which contradicts the previous habamina, right, is about the connection between the arev and the lova. The Gemara's statement in Makos is about, you know, how we look at the relationship between the malva and the arev. But in both cases, Gemara had a havamina and a maskana. So you want to talk about that and then go back to our Gemara. Okay? See the Rishonim.
The
Gemara.